I was confused for a minute. You're talking about the next exciting speaker. I thought it was supposed to be me. But anyway, it's good to see you all. Again, a beautiful Sabbath day. I normally don't start off a message with a story that I can't confirm absolutely to be true, but I'll start today's message with it. A fellow finds himself in front of the pearly gates. And he's talking to St. Peter, and St. Peter explains to him that, you know, it's not just as easy to get into heaven. He says there's some criteria that you need to meet before you're allowed in. And so he asks him, for example, were you religious in life? And did you attend church? No. The man says, no. Well, that's bad, says St. Peter. He says, that's bad. What about generous? Did you give money to the poor, to charities? No. It's not really good, he says. What about any good deeds? You know, did you help your neighbor? Did you help somebody have a flat tire? Anything like that? No. Well, exasperated, Peter looks at that, and he looks at the man. He says, look, everybody does something nice sometime. Just work with me here now. Think. And the man scratches his head. He goes, well, you know, there was that time. There was this old lady. I came out of a store, and I found her surrounded by a dozen Hell's Angels. And they had stolen her purse, and they were roughing her up a little bit, taunting her and abusing her. And so I got so mad, I threw my bags down, and I fought through the crowd, and I got her purse back, and I helped her to her feet. And then I found the biggest, baddest biker, and I went right up to him, and I told him how despicable and cowardly and mean he was, and then I spit in his face. St. Peter says, wow, I didn't know about that. He says, that's pretty impressive. When did this happen? He says, oh, about 4 minutes ago. Now, either this man had no fear or no brains, but it does serve as an introduction to my split sermon today. And what I want to talk about this afternoon is fearing God. I'd like to start by asking you a couple of questions, and you can answer them to yourself. You all have your own different take, possibly. First question, why did you come to church today? Or maybe I should ask in a more broader sense, why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you attend God's holy days? We're right in the middle of several here. Why do you personally do that? Why do you keep God's law? You know, everyone here, I'm sure, could give me a solid answer, but if we look outside of this room or into other churches, especially those out in the world, they have different reasons for why you should attend their church. Maybe they have a great sports program for the youth. Or maybe they have excellent programs for those going through severe trials, divorce, or whatever. Maybe they like the minister. You know, he's my neighbor. He's a good guy. Maybe you have a friend that goes to that church. That's your reason for picking that church. Or maybe to hear good messages, you know. Depending on who it is, I look ahead. If it's somebody I don't want to hear, I stay home. The question I'm asking today, why do you go to church? Why do you come here every week? Why are we to keep God's holy days, or His Sabbath, or His law? Turn over to Deuteronomy 14 as we start here, because we can find the answer in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. We can see the answer that I'm suggesting, and I think you'll see applies here, especially as we look at the last part of Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. It says, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oils, of the firstborn of your hearts, of your herds and your flock. And this last part of the sentence, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. The major reason that we come to church, the major reason that we keep God's laws and that we keep His holy days and that we attend and try and keep His Sabbath holy, I'm going to suggest to you today is so that we can learn to fear God appropriately. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through the message. You see, fearing God is not something that we automatically know how to do, or it's not a part of our human nature. We have to learn how to fear God. So I ask myself as I'm putting together this message, what is this fear that we are to be learning? Well, just as there are different reasons for going to church, some people think that the fear of God is many different things too. But what does God have to say about fearing Him? Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 17. Says, "And I call on, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." I came across a sermon that was given many years ago, actually, and I listened to it here a while back. And it was actually a sermon given, by Don Waterhouse. But there were some interesting things that I gleaned from that sermon that I wanted to share with you. A couple of the quotes he said, and this was years ago, understand. He said, "There is a lack of fear of God in God's church today." He said, "There may be intellectual knowledge, knowing what we're to do, and then doing it, but are we fearing God?" In the sermon, he suggested that fearing God equals standing in the awe of God, having a deep reverence for God, to do what God says, to obey Him in all things. Because as we explore this, I think you're going to see that you cannot separate the fear of God and the obedience of God. In other words, you cannot fear God if you do not do what He says. In the sermon, it mentioned this. It said, "The fear of God acknowledges itself in two ways. One, God corrects us and punishes us when we go wrong. And if we continue to go wrong, God has the power, if He chooses, God has the power to extinguish our lives. But if we repent, as Mr. Dowdley alluded to last Monday, God is very merciful and does not keep track of those sins. He wipes the slate clean. He forgets. And that is truly a wonderful promise for us. You see, as we grow in the fear of God, we begin to love and appreciate God because we want to become more like Him. And we're told throughout the Bible in many places that that's what we're to do, to become more Christ-like. That's what we need to be doing as we prepare to be a part of His kingdom. We understand we want to please God, so we hopefully are careful in how we live our lives. And we ask ourselves sometimes how God wants us to be better. And hopefully we do that on a regular basis. We go to God and say, "God, please show me those areas that I need to improve on." Hopefully then also when we hear things, that hopefully we compare them to God's Word and what His viewpoint would be on that matter. Not just what our own bias might be. What is God's opinion on? What is God's opinion on everything? We need to keep that in mind with everything that we hear, that we read, that we see. We are here today to gain a better understanding of the fear of God. And I want to say that the fear of God is vitally important for us today and for those in the future that we're going to be teaching. As I mentioned in the little story at the beginning, you know, there are people in this world have a lot of fears, and rightfully so in some of the countries that people live in. But very few of these people in the world fear God. Again, most of the fears are different than what I'm speaking of today. The fears can best be described in the world as maybe terror or panic or severe dread. Maybe there are places in this world, and we have to understand, even in God's church, there are places that people wonder sometimes if it's safe to meet today. We don't have that fear in this country at this point. The fear of God that I want to talk about today, though, is better described, again, as deep respect, as awe, as reverence. That's not the fear that the world has. Turn back to Matthew as we start to get into this a little bit. And I want to offer you in a few minutes some practical thoughts and applications on how we can better fear God. But Matthew 10, verse 28, it tells us the type of fear that we're to have. It's not the dread, the panic, the terror necessarily. It tells us in Matthew 10, 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body." That's what we are to fear. We can turn back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, along the same lines, let me read it to you. It says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." You and I must have a healthy fear of God, knowing that God loves us beyond even our comprehension. Ask yourself, do I fear God the way that I'm supposed to? Well, I'm going to look at some passages that refer to the fearing of God, the appropriate fearing of God, and offer several points along the way. Turn back to Deuteronomy, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll read verses 12 and 13. But here's the first point I'll offer you, is that one of the reasons that we fear God is a simple one. It's required of us. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 10 or 12 and 13. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God?" Again, what does he require of you? Again, it's required of us. It says, "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." So the first and most obvious point is the reason that we need to fear God is that God requires it of us. Another point, we can just turn back to Deuteronomy 6, is we fear God because it's good for us. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. We fear God because it's good for us. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, it says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." So we're required to do it, but there are benefits besides just being told you have to do it. We do it because it's good for us. Since we're in Deuteronomy, we'll stay there. Go back to chapter 13 again. Another reason that we would fear God is that it goes hand in hand with keeping God's law. fearing God appropriately, with the appropriate amount of reverence, the appropriate amount of awe, goes hand in hand with keeping God's law. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." See, it goes hand in hand. Fear him and keep his commandments. Back just a couple of pages again. We can get a lot here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, 6. Again, this goes hand in hand. Fearing God goes hand in hand with keeping his law. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6 says, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." You see, we have to understand, especially this time of year in the midst of these God's holy day, fall holy day season, we have to remember that we cannot separate these two things, the fearing of God and the keeping of God's law. They go hand in hand. Let's look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's see, that's not the verse I was looking of. Let's try instead Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Sorry about that. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. Find it eventually. It says in verse 7 of Psalm 19, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." We think about this. Think about what this says here. The fear of God is our expression back to God. It's our expression back to Him, showing Him our respect and our awe and our deep reverence for Him by keeping His commandments, by obeying Him, by living by every word that he spoke. It also tells us that the fear of God makes our obedience to him pure and clean. And also, we're more aware of God as we come to fear him. We become more aware of God, and as a result, we won't take advantage of other people because it's pure and it's right. Again, living God's way, living by every word of God. You see, again, it's very clear. You can't separate fearing God and keeping God's law because they go hand in hand. They feed off each other. Let's turn back to Proverbs for another point on why we need to fear God. Proverbs chapter 1. This point that I want to share with you now, one of the reasons that we fear God is that fearing God is the beginning of knowledge. And if we fear God, we will love the truth. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Drop down to verse 29. It says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, They would have none of my counsel and despised me, despised my every rebuke. Or to turn over, while we're here in Proverbs, look at Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then," verse 5, "then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Turn back to Proverbs chapter 9. To go along with this point that we have to start here to even understand God, to the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Proverbs 9 verse 10 tells us that. Again, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So I asked myself as I put this together, and I've been coming to church, you know, now for 30 years, almost 30 years, I have an understanding, but is my understanding complete or full yet? Because do I appropriately and honestly fear God in a proper way? What about you? What do you think? You can write down Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. Again, it says the same thing. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do His commandments." Another scripture. Turn back to Job 28. Job 28, 28. Job 28, verse 28. It says, "And to the man he said," again, "the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Why else should we fear God? Well, this point is, we should fear God because it's something that we should desire, and it's a delight. It talks about that in Nehemiah 1, verse 11. You can write that down. Nehemiah 1, verse 11. But while we're close, let's turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 3 also says the same thing. Isaiah 11, verse 3. We fear God because it's something we should desire, and it is a delight. In Isaiah 11, verse 3, it says, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears." Fearing God is something that we should have a desire to do, and truly fearing God is a delight. We also want to fear God because doing so brings us blessings. Proverbs 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27, it says, and this is kind of a big deal. It says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Is not prolonging our days a huge blessing? That fact that God's called us, that we have a chance to be in His kingdom. Or Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. It says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." I like that. It's a strong confidence, both in security of where we stand a strong confidence, and for the fact that we know more about what's coming. We have an idea of what God's plan is. As we enter into, we're kind of in the middle of these fall holy days, we know what they represent. We know what our place in that plan is. Again, verse 27 says, it's the fountain of life. We know what real life is, not this life that we're living now, but the life, what life will be when we're a spirit being. Psalm 115, verse 11, you can write down, it says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." In the interest of time, you can also write down Acts 9, verse 31, where it talks about the fear of the Lord in the New Testament church, lest someone would tell you that we're only looking at Old Testament scriptures. Another point about fearing God, the reason that we should, is that fearing God is for it's forever. It's not just for a while or when it's convenient or on the Sabbath. Fearing God is a constant. It is forever. Turn over to Deuteronomy 31, if you would please. Deuteronomy 31. One of the other reasons we talk about, you know, first of all, being forever, but we also fear God because it's something that we must learn. And when we learn it, part of our responsibility then is to teach it to others. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of his law." So it's not just some secret that we're supposed to keep. We're supposed to teach it to others. Verse 13, "And that their children who have not known it may hear it and also learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." Again, it's something that we must learn, and when we learn it, we have to teach it to others. You can write down Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. I'll read it to you. It says again here, "Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach and that they may teach their children.'" We should also fear God because fearing God is closely associated with serving God. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. And again, we could look at just tons and tons of scriptures, but we just pick a few here in the short time we have. But under this point that we fear God because it's closely associated with serving God, 1 Samuel 12, verse 14 says, "If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God." Again, fearing God and properly serving him can't be separated. They go hand in hand. So I ask, and please ask yourself this, do we, as God's people, as God's called out ones, he chose us, do we reflect our fear, our reverence, our deep respect, our awe of him? Do we reflect that, our fear of God, through our level of service and our quality of service to him? Or do we just sit back and let others do the service? A final point that we'll talk about, we should fear God, why we should fear God, is that it's not just an Old Testament philosophy or practice. There are many New Testament references as well. Acts 9, verse 31. I think we already read that. Acts 9, verse 31. I guess not, but we'll read it here. Acts 9, verse 31. Again, we'll look at a few New Testament references. It says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Well, that's a very good scripture. That's not the one I'm looking for. How about 2 Corinthians 7:1? Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Write down, please, Ephesians 5, verse 21. It's a scripture that we've heard before. Again, this is referring to husband and wife, but it talks about submitting to one another. How? In the fear of God. Or Hebrews 11. Again, just in the interest of time, Hebrews 11, verse 7, it talks about Noah and the fact that he had godly fear. Remember, it said, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith." Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes I think they keep moving these books around on me. Somebody's messing with my Bible when I'm not looking. 1 Peter 2. And verse 17. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. God's instruction to us here, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Further over on the page in chapter 3, verse 15, again, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." It's very clear what God expects of us. The last couple scriptures that we'll look at are in Revelation as we begin to wrap this message up. Revelation 14 and verse 7. We could start in verse 6. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." Verse chapter 15, verse 4. Again, talking about this, it's throughout the Bible. 15, verse 4, it says here, "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come up and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." One last scripture. Revelation 19, verse 5. Starting in verse 4, it says, "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. As I conclude, looking up the phrase, fear God, is a wonderful Bible study, and I would encourage you to do that. And I haven't even been able to cover half of the scriptures referring to fearing God, not even close, but I think it's very interesting to see how often that we're reminded that we need to fear him. And I've given you just a few aspects of fearing God, and there are many more, but I ask you to ask this of yourself continually. Do I really fear God? Only you can answer that question.